Good morning. How y'all doing?
Fine.
Ready for a nice day? It's good to be back, kind of, so to speak. Today, we're going to look at the next generation of housing elements. And you've got your agenda in front of you. I think we put together a really good array of speakers and topics that I think are going to raise some interesting points for you to consider as you get ready to embark upon the housing element process. I've been dealing with housing elements for 700 or 800 years. Ventura, Orange, San Diego, multiple times. And I'm going to just provide a basic setting for the rest of this morning and then try to facilitate the discussions. Since it's a relatively cozy group, let's keep it kind of informal. Let my coat off just to kind of convey that. And I think the speakers would be open for questions as the discussions go on. If you'll notice in the at the end of the morning, there's a discussion for panels, questions and answers. So if you don't get your question in during the presentation, hold on to that thought and then bring it back for the morning discussion. I'm going to try to keep the speakers somewhat close to a schedule so that everybody will have a time to make their points. So I'm as excited as you guys are to see what's going to happen as it unfolds here. Cool, huh? Now, here's what I like. I'm just going to cover kind of like four basic things just to kind of put things into some kind of a context and then point out how I think the program today fits into some kind of a coordinated fashion. And again, I'd like to echo Brooke's comment. This is a really well thought out agenda, very well done, and my hat's off to APA for putting this together. It's timely, and this is just a great cast of characters. In some cases, the characters are bigger than other characters, Martin, but I won't say anything else about it. So what I'm going to do is just do some context setting, talk a little bit about the evolution of housing elements from my perspective, look at some of the underlying tensions, and then have a few brief closing comments. Click. Just to kind of remind you, and I'm sure most of you know, in many jurisdictions, it's highly possible that you've got three housing planning processes going on. The comprehensive plan as part of your CDBG process, clearly the housing element as part of your general plan process, but also the housing plan as part of redevelopment. And those three separate processes sometimes don't get brought together as much as they should. And there's a lot of useful information in the comprehensive plan and in redevelopment that you can use as part of your housing element. So don't lose track of those documents, because a lot of the implementation tools in CDBG and redevelopment are ways for you to address those needs that you're going to go through when you do your conditions and needs in your housing element. So try to kind of keep that in mind. Now, one would like to think that all these fit together very neatly, and all the definitions and factors, and you can just pick them up and drop them in. But for those of you that went through the attempt to get CDBG and housing elements as a single process, remember how that worked. And so it's a little daunting, but there's resources out there for you. Click. And you all probably don't need to know this, but again, just to kind of set the groundwork. We all know the housing element is one of the seven required elements of your general plan. It's the state law. Every city and county in the state of California has to prepare a general plan. It has to have seven elements, and the housing element is one of them. So every now and then I have to remind city councils when I consult them that it's the state law. You have to do it when you said, I do, as part of your swearing in ceremony, you swore to uphold the laws of the state of California. This is one of those laws. It's distinct from the other elements in two respects. One is, unlike the other elements, there's laws that require you to do periodic updates, the reason why you're all here today, and why we're in cycle number 5. Yeah, see, I passed my quiz there. And obviously the key agency involved in this is the State of California Housing Community Development Agency. It plays a key role in this process. And there's a kind of a point here that I think I've heard in numerous occasions where they talk about HCD's approval on the housing elements. HCD doesn't approve the housing elements. Your local jurisdictions, the city council, board of supervisors, those decision makers are the ones that approve the housing element, okay? HCD obviously plays a very important role in that process in terms of their determination of the compliance of your housing element to state law. But don't use the terms interchangeably, because your city council can approve a housing element that doesn't comply with state law. Now, you probably don't want to do that, and it's to everybody's advantage to have a housing element to comply with state law because of the potential ramifications of having a housing element out of compliance. And for those that you remember, when BIA and Oceanside went toe-to-toe several years ago, there was a possibility that the general plan was going to be under assault as a result of an inadequate housing element. So, it's out there, and it's motivation to keep you in the process. But hopefully there's a bigger and higher, more altruistic motivation, and that is to deal with your housing needs and address the needs of the region and your jurisdiction's housing needs in a progressive manner. Now, what I'm going to do is just kind of quickly go over the seven parts of the housing element, and kind of, well, what I did this is kind of tie the today's program to how it fits into this context. So in terms of simplification, we got basically seven parts: conditions and needs. And Beth and Marnie, I think comments are going to help you get a better feel for how you can respond to some of the requirements under this part of the housing element. Goals, policies, I put et cetera. Goals, policy, objectives, all those things that planners like to do in terms of goals and policies and objectives. That's part of it. Past performance, you got to go back and see what you said you were going to do last time and how well you did. And so you're going to do an assessment in terms of how effective were those programs. Do we need to keep them? Do we need to change them? And do we need to get rid of them? Resources, these are the things that you're going to bring to bear to address those conditions and needs out there. And again, I think some of the comments that Marty's going to have in terms of the residential land inventory can provide some assets and resources for you. So Marty, you've got two parts to address here. So I hope you're up to the challenge. Okay. Marty made the unfortunate judgment of sending his daughters to the University of Michigan. And being from the Ohio State University, I've held that against him. Constraints, both governmental and non-governmental, relatively straightforward, but obviously issues that you want to address, those things, especially in terms of governmental constraints, things your jurisdiction can do to deal with those kinds of constraints, but especially in terms of affordable housing, obviously. Programs, this afternoon's agenda is going to get more focused on the programs. And so you're going to hear from Bill and Patrick and Dave about some ways to deal with and address those conditions and needs in some kind of a definable manner. And then last but certainly not least is this whole issue of quantified objectives. And that's where Susan Baldwin's comments in terms of the regional share, regional housing needs assessment, the RENA process, and what Sandag's doing in that context. I've watched housing elements evolve over the last, I want to say 25 years now, in terms of the work, in terms of working on housing elements, directing staff working on housing elements, and now as a consultant doing housing elements. And I've seen a number of things evolve, and that's what I'd like to do is talk about what I think are increasing complexity and detail, the comprehensive nature of it, and last, certainly not least, as a former planning director, Sandag, a subject near and dear to my heart, the ties to the region. In terms of more complex, I've watched housing elements grow much more detailed. Conditions and needs analysis. Housing element used to be 25, 30 pages, and now it takes a lot more pages to respond to all these requirements. As the legislature adds additional requirements to what it takes to have a housing element comply with state law. And so you have to be smarter about data and finding data sources. And there's a treasure trove of stuff out there. It's just getting your hands on it and putting it into some kind of succinct place. Special need groups, It seems like over time, the special needs groups have grown, and the requirements in terms of addressing the special needs groups have grown. You know, for example, SB 520 added a series of issues that you're going to have to address as part of the special needs group of people with disabilities. A site analysis, probably the single most lightning rod component of your housing element, especially in terms of dealing with suitability and realistic capacity. And AB 2348 came along and added additional analysis, land use controls, very important in terms of how you process and how you regulate for housing in your jurisdiction. And then program requirements have become more detailed with identification of some very exact time frames, identifying agency responsibilities, funding sources. It has become a lot more complex and detailed. Obviously, kind of the subject matter at heart today in terms of the comprehensive nature of it, the housing element originally was kind of this thing. You ginned out, you turned it into the state HCD, it went through the review process, and it came back. And whether your land use element could implement it or not really didn't matter. As long as you had the numbers in there that HCD wanted to see for your regional share, it was fine. Even though your land use element may not have enabled that to happen. Well, those days are over. And so now the housing element starts to take on a much more comprehensive connotation. And now with SB 375, not only have we expanded from land use and housing interrelationships, now we're talking about the whole gamut of issues raised by 375, air emissions, transportation, and it makes it one of the basics is that as part of the state law, your general plan has to be internally consistent. And I think this is the resonance of that requirement for internal consistency. Now the housing element has to be consistent with your land use element, with your circulation element, all those things that as good planners you would all do anyway. The connections to SB 375 and sustainable communities, again, has brought in this whole concept of bigger issues. And then connections to the region. Obviously, you will be, by the time Susan's done, understanding relationships in terms of regional share, the regional housing needs assessment, arena numbers, where those are important numbers in terms of your quantified objectives and how you develop your programs and lay out things. That connection's been there pretty much since day one. Now what's happening, is you get to deal with the art. I slipped into planning jargon, but I assume most of these. The regional transportation plan and the sustainable community strategy is part of that. A new requirement under 375. So the MPOs, the Metropolitan Planning Organizations, that are putting the RTPs together and now have a broader role and responsibility, but it's going to impact your housing element. In the San Diego region, the regional comprehensive plan, how many are work with local agencies? How many consultants? Anybody from outside the San Diego region? Where are you guys from?
LA.
LA?
LA.
LA?
Orange County.
Orange County, okay.
Sacramento.
Paul? Put your hand down. This is a great position to be in for years. I've had to kind of, now I've got Paul right there and he needs to behave himself. All right, sit. I'll let you know what you're doing. All right, boy, I love this. Well, obviously San Diego put the regional comprehensive plan together and it provides opportunities for you in terms of their smart growth strategies. And I know most jurisdictions are working with San Diego trying to put some meat on that concept of smart growth. And what an excellent juxtaposition of the requirements to address your housing needs through regional share. And you kind of got the perfect storm coming together in terms of putting things together. Clearly, there's underlying tensions in this process. the whole concept of land use control, the single most jealously protected power by local jurisdictions. And along comes the housing element with a set of state requirements that, remember this comprehensive context that I talked about, now is suggesting there's some significant land use implications to your housing element. You won't realize that. But if those implications raise attention between the local jurisdictions and the community groups that are going to be resistant to the kinds of changes that you're going to need to do to make your housing element a good planning document. And I can, harassing Patrick Murphy, you know, I've done probably, I don't know how many housing elements, probably 60 or 70. There's only one jurisdiction that hasn't been, that I haven't gotten a compliance letter from, it's been Encinitas. But it was a classic illustration of this attempt to try to get the local jurisdiction who had a community character and a sense of what they wanted their jurisdiction to look like, and the housing element kind of butting up against that in terms of trying to reconcile the two. And I think, Patrick, they're going to get that reconciled. But there's a lot of that. And I can recall numbers of jurisdictions saying, okay, we'll do this, but we don't like it. Well, that's not what you want. You want jurisdictions to say, we're off and running and we're going to implement a terrific housing element, rather than HCD's making us do this and we'll do it, but we really don't believe in it. That's the worst possible scenario. So that's the tension. And it's all revolves around this issue of the need to address the hard to get to income groups, you know, the very low and low income households. We all, well, these days, maybe not, we can address, you know, moderate and above moderate. Those are the hard groups to get at, and it requires some tough land use decision-making processes. The review process, Kathy and Paul and John are going to talk about that, so I won't belabor that too much. But you know, sometimes that can unfold, and I kind of call it, you know, a root canal without Novocaine. A progressive revelation, step by step, trying to get through that process in terms of, hopefully, the ultimate objective of the review process is a determination of compliance to state law. I mean, you want that. So my closing comments, just briefly, don't fall into the trap of, I've got an adopted housing element in this next cycle, I'm just going to gin some numbers and put in the new numbers and blah, 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 and I'll be done. Keep in mind, the housing market in the last 5 years has been turned upside down. It's a completely different housing market and raising significant implications in terms of the future of housing and how you deal with housing challenges. So remember that as you go in there. You've got a new market landscape out there that's different than anything anybody in this room's experienced since the last time you did your housing element, or the housing element before that, or the housing element before that. So, you know, bear that in mind. Lots of opportunities. It's an opportunity-rich environment that you're going to embark upon. You've got Sandag. Again, you know, I'm bringing my bias to the table. You know, the full disclosure in terms of being a former planning director, Sandag. So I've got some bias here. But and Beth is going to talk about the treasure trove of data out there at Sandag. Census stuff. When's the census going to be available? Is it out there in next year? Actually, I did 3 months. The regional comprehensive plan that I've talked about in terms of the smart growth strategy, as you're developing the need to do these realistic capacity and site analysis stuff, you know, Sandag's identified a whole lot of areas where you might want to go back and look at it and see if you can get your requirements met that way. The Department of Housing Community Development, my experiences in the time I've been there is they're an absolutely great resource of lots of good technical assistance, examples and samples, all kinds of places to do homework. My experiences with the staff have always been, they've always been willing to help you through the process. You share the same objective. They want a housing element that complies with state law, and you want a housing element that complies with state law. So work with them. I can't say enough positive about the HCD staff. And last but not least, look at your local resources. You've got a whole bunch of opportunities, especially in San Diego, again, I'm biased, with all due respect to LA and Orange County. And there are plenty of opportunities. My aforementioned reference to redevelopment, those redevelopment funds can really be a dynamic asset. I'm working in San Juan, and we were having trouble with the site analysis thing, and we came up with a density gap financing program, where we packaged some of the redevelopment monies and some other resources in order to address HCD's concerns about density. And in essence, we were saying, well, we can increase the densities. Well, probably couldn't. A little flippant comment, San Juan. Right? Would have been a tough battle. But it would have ended up having more upper-income, high-density housing. And so by using this density gap financing, we were able to build units that are going to be affordable because of the constraints to them. And to HCD's credit, they were, again, my comment, they were open to thinking that process through. We still had to do some additional site analysis stuff, but, you know, I'll be quiet. So I'm looking forward to the day unfolding. I'm going to conclude my remarks now, and I'm going to turn it over to Beth.